good afternoon and welcome to our meeting. It is 1:30 PM on June 27th, 2023. The time to reconvene the regular meeting of the Snohomish County PUD Board of Commissioners. I'm Rebecca Wolf, President of the Commission. Here we have Commissioner Sid Logan, Vice President, Commissioner Tony Olson, Secretary, John Harlow, CEO, General Manager, Colin Willenrock, General Counsel, joining virtually Melissa Collins, Commission and Executive Services Director. Allison Morrison, Clerk of the Board, is at the sign-in table, and Jenny Rich is in charge of the computers, Deputy Clerk of the Board. The written record will indicate others who are present. Please turn off or mute your cell phones or other electronic devices. Copies of the agenda are located on the Deputy Clerk's table near the entrance. Are there any items to be added or changes to be made to the published agenda?
I have no items.
I have no idea.
Comments from the public is item two on the agenda. And that is when the board will hear comments for items that are not listed on today's agenda. Comments will be limited to 5 minutes. The person shall be recognized to speak from the sign-up cards located on the deputy clerk's table near the entrance. If joining by Zoom, click raise hand or dial star 9 on your phone. Attendees will be called on to speak at the appropriate time. This meeting is being recorded. When addressing the board during the meeting, please step up to the podium, use the microphone, state and spell your name and indicate where you're from. Please remain at the podium while you speak and address the commissioners, not the audience. If you have documents or other materials to enter into the record, hand them to the deputy clerk, who will distribute them to the board. We appreciate your cooperation with our procedures. Please note that all motions receive an automatic silent second from the board. This ensures that all issues can be brought to the floor for discussion. Would you all please join me for the flag salute at this time? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the
United States of America. And to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'll move on to comments from the public. We do have a couple of people who signed in to comment today, and we welcome all members of the public. And so first, I'd like to call on Don Miller to speak. Welcome, Don.
Good afternoon. Thank you. My name is Don Miller, D-O-N-M-I-L-L-E-R. I live in Arlington, Washington, and I'm on the leadership team for Indivisible Snohomish County. I've come to talk to you today about the board's position on Lower Snake River dams and also membership in Northwest River Partners. I spoke with Commissioner Olson last fall prior to the election, and from that discussion, my understanding was that the board was keeping a neutral position on this issue. I know you're aware that there's been ongoing litigation on the Snake River salmon recovery. That has been paused, and the parties are currently working with the Federal Mediation Conciliation Services, FMCS. In May, there were several listening sessions for individuals and organizations to give comment, and I was surprised to hear a comment from Jeff Kallstrom on behalf of Snohomish County PUD that was not very neutral. Quoting from his conclusion on his comments, quote, "While external funds would always be welcome for regional public needs, the funding required to mitigate the profound cost of the proposed actions are nearly certain to be much less effective than other science-based and community-based external investments that would directly advance these public ecological goals and pose fewer threats to electrification and the carbon benefits that would come with it." My initial inquiry with Mr. Kallstrom's comments was by email, And I received a response with a link to the Snake River workshop slides of April 2022. I did review those. I'd also had previously, during that time, had attended that virtually. There's several important things that have transpired since that time. The Lower Snake River Dam's benefit replacement report was completed for Governor Inslee and Senator Murray. And after their review, they recommended initiating steps to replace the services of the Lower Snake River Dams. This year's legislative session appropriated $7.5 million for the 2023-2025 biennium to begin these steps for addressing replacement. Representative Mike Simpson also continues refining his proposal on salmon recovery on the Snake River. All these processes are seeking a balanced, equitable approach to the Northwest communities that have been affected both positively and negatively by these dams. Northwest River Partners, in contrast, focuses solely on preserving the status quo and spending many dollars on misinformation. Christine Grant, president of Whatcom PUD, recently stated, and I quote, "Northwest River Partners is a political advocacy organization currently implementing a region-wide multi-dollar public relations campaign to persuade Northwest residents that reaching for hydropower dams on the Lower Snake is bad for salmon, bad for climate, and bad for people. While I support a healthy and robust debate about this important energy, economic, and environmental policy decision facing our region, I believe that Northwest River Partner work is increasing the political polarization on this issue rather than fostering healthy dialogue." She continues, "For example, a recent TV ad paid for by Northwest River Partners told viewers that the only way to replace dams would be by burning fossil fuels, making the impacts of climate change even worse. This is not true. Serious proposals to date related to breaching these four dams have significant federal packages that would help replace the clean energy functions of the dams and ensure that replacement costs do not unduly fall upon public power ratepayers." Whatcom County PUD subsequently vote to discontinue their membership. And I respectfully ask the Snohomish County PUD to discontinue membership with Northwest River Partners.
Appreciate your comments. Thank you. I'd like to call now Mr. Steve Keeler for the podium.
My name is Stephen Keeler, K-E-E-L-E-R, and I'm a resident of Edmonds, Washington. Commissioners, good afternoon. You have a copy of the wire in front of you. Somebody has a real one, and the rest of you have a page. Looking down the right side, two-thirds of the way, there's a small note. A 25-megawatt energy storage project has the ability to serve 20,000 average homes. Commissioners, I'm going to leave you with a question not answered. How many single-family homes are there in Snohomish County? I want you to contemplate that, please. Next, commissioners, we haven't looked at this page in quite a while. You have a copy in color of it. This document is prepared by the Bonneville Power Administration. Their wind department prepares it now. There has been a change. It used to plot solar and wind as plot lines on the graph. They're gone. And something called VER has appeared. That's new. It's an acronym for Variable Energy Resource. And that, in fact, is now wind and solar lumped together. Interesting document. I'd ask you to keep this document in mind on occasion. We're looking at. I think, however, there is something missing from the plot. I wonder if you can spot it. I won't answer the question, but I will get back to it. Next, Commissioner, something called the California Independent System Operator. Please do not. If you see an interaction coming with this entity, apologize, dismiss yourself, say you have something pressing you have to get to, turn around, walk away. Finally, in concluding today, with regard to items that are on the agenda for an afternoon meeting, when the commission opens a public hearing and asks for public comments, per your own procedures and policies, I'm not aware of the public being forced to commit to a time limit to make their comment. I would ask the commission to review what I'm saying and check your policies and procedures and give the public feedback. Again, I believe when you ask the public for a comment during a opened hearing, that the public may speak for 10 minutes. They may speak, oh my God, for 15 minutes. They certainly shouldn't filibuster, but I don't believe they should be chopped off either. Please consider that, and thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have anybody on the phone in public who want to comment?
We do not.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we'll move on to the consent agenda, which includes approval of the minutes for the regular meeting of June 13th, 2023, the awards, professional services contracts and amendments, and consideration of certification and ratification and approval of district checks and vouchers. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Are there any comments from the public regarding the consent agenda?
There are not.
Commissioners, do you have any questions or comments?
Commissioner Olson, I have no comments.
I have none. I'll call for the vote. All in favor, please vote aye. All opposed, no.
Aye.
The consent agenda is approved unanimously. I will now open a public hearing and action on the disposal of surplus property for the third quarter, 2023. I'll call for a motion.
Based on staff's recommendation and the items are no longer necessary or useful to the district, I move that those items listed on Exhibits A of the surplus property recommendation report be declared surplus and be sold for high bid or disposed of according to policy in the third quarter 2023.
I'll now convene a public hearing on the disposal of the surplus property for third quarter 2023. Sue Martin is available to answer any questions. Does anyone have any questions about this disposal of surplus property?
Not from the public.
Do you have any questions?
Commissioner Olson, I have no questions.
You're welcome.
I have none.
Okay. There are no comments from the public. Okay. I'll close the public hearing and call for the vote. All in favor, please vote aye, and all opposed, please vote no.
Aye.
The motion is passed unanimously. Now we'll move on to items for individual consideration. First is the introduction of a resolution authorizing the CEO general manager to execute a wholesale water agreement with the city of Arlington. I'll call for a motion.
I move to hold this resolution over to the next regular board meeting to accommodate the statutory period required before the adoption.
Christina Arndt is available to answer any questions regarding the resolution. Do we have any comments from the public regarding this resolution?
We do not.
Any questions from you, Commissioner Olson?
No.
Okay. I have none, thank you.
The motion is passed unanimously. Oh, excuse me, I'll call for the vote. Please vote aye or nay.
Aye.
Abstain.
Aye. The motion is passed 1-2. One abstention and two in favor. Now we'll consider a resolution authorizing the CEO, General Manager of Public Utility District Number 1 of Snohomish County to execute an interlocal agreement between Snohomish County and Public Utility District Number 1 of Snohomish County concerning utility construction associated with the Jordan Creek Bridge 214 replacement project. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Paul Federspiel is available to answer any questions regarding this resolution. Does anybody have questions?
Commissioner Olson has no questions.
We are thrilled to brief you on this at a previous meeting.
Any comments from the public?
There are not.
Okay. We have no questions or comments. I'll call for the vote. Please vote on aye or nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion is passed unanimously. We'll move on now to the CEO General Manager's report. Are there any reports?
Yes, I have a couple things to share with the commissioners.
I guess that's so cool. I get really excited when I see that.
Yeah, the first thing I wanted to just share was crews working in Guam a week ago restored a major 115 kV line that helps stabilize the grid in Guam and prevent the rolling blackouts to continue. And it also secured power to our naval base in Guam. So starting and they are continuing to work on the 115 and the transmission lines in Guam and just doing a fantastic job. We've got great feedback from the Guam Power Authority on our crews, and the crews are also holding up well despite the heat and humidity, drinking lots of water and staying safe. Super proud of the guys. Crews are also working on the Spanwood to Camino 115 line and recently installed a 6-foot diameter casing pipe 30 feet long using a vibratory head on a Traco. Transportation Department also helped, and this was actually a engineered way to set the transmission poles along the wetlands across from Stanwood into Camino, and it is their ingenuity and approach is saving significant time and money from the original plan, which we were going to contract each of those installations of the tubes. So they've just done a phenomenal job figuring out a more effective and cost-effective and time-saving way to do it.
Cost-effective, because that's usually very expensive.
Yeah, very, very expensive. Out of the HR group, the job description project is moving to the next phase. The compensation team meeting with senior managers and managers over the next few weeks to share next steps. Following those manager meetings, the team will be able to do a more in-depth review of possible budget impacts in anticipation of meeting with the commissioners later this summer. Managers and employees completed the first crucial conversations for accountability course offered by the district, and the recruiting team is wrapping up the final student hiring for the summer. So we've hired 19 students to work in various departments around the district. The summer program continues to be a way for us to engage with our community and provide students with experience working in a utility. We often hire these students into regular positions once they've completed their educational goals. Corporate communications and our education team excited to share with the conclusion of our middle school program. During the 22-23 school year, our public education program coordinators working with Triangle Associates held 180 workshops at 13 different middle schools, serving 40 teachers and almost 4,200 students. We plan to do a school year in review for the commission in September. Out of government relations and energy services, from June 13th through June 15th, Alex Torrey, Kelsey Lewis, Susie Oversby, and Brenda White attended the Northwest Tribal Clean Energy Summit hosted by the Affiliated Tribes of the Northwest Indians. It was this year located at the Tulalip Resort and Casino. The summit convenes tribes from all over the region as they learned, shared information, and advanced tribal clean energy initiatives in the Pacific Northwest. The PUD joined this year as a sponsor, along with many other agencies and partners. And a few things going on in my world the past couple weeks. Attended the APPA board meetings in Seattle. We conducted the final APPA CEO interviews, which I believe will be announced either this Thursday afternoon or early Friday morning who the selected candidate is. The ELT also had a retreat. We went through some humility as a key leadership attribute training. We also focused on our diversity, equity, and inclusion work, our overall organizational work prioritization process, and the ELT meeting effectiveness. Team left feeling more cohesive and aligned in how we want to lead the organization going forward.
I must have misheard. Did you say work twos or humility? Did you say that?
I might have. We went through some humility as a key leadership attribute training.
Oh, okay. Well,
I probably said work.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, it's so important. It really is.
It is very important. Open for any questions.
I don't have any, but good work. Thank you.
Lots of good stuff going on.
Yeah, what's happening? Okay, now we'll move on to commission business. All right, do we have any commission reports? Do you have any commissioners?
I have no reports, but I'm looking forward to. I heard about one of the sessions that you both found very interesting and would be interested in hearing about perhaps some other themes or other sessions that you felt were particularly helpful. Do you want to talk about what?
Sure. Yeah, other than the session that Mark Ross gave, which is very informational about how connected systems works from that aspect. I was very pleased that you can see the benefit of being late adopters. The technology is so mature. They're talking about essentially Smart Meter 1 and we're Smart Meter 2.0. So we're now, others are starting to switch over and really all the capabilities that we need to be able to time of use. So very, very interesting. Other than that, you know, I think the best part were the speakers. You know, it's every year is a little different, and I didn't really have others that were really stuck out to me. There were several at the same time Mark Rossen was presenting, so I chose to go and support him. But I did do a lot of thinking in the traffic down to Seattle, and more on that here in a little bit.
No reasons I chose not to.
Well, I really, really enjoyed the APPA conference. It was wonderful to have it in Seattle. And I inquired about the student rate. I was prepared to pay for my grandson to go. And the APPA was so generous. They said we would like to give him a complimentary registration. I was shocked. So I am grateful to APPA and the board and all those who support new talent. You know, here's a young man who was so excited about his future and his career. And I wish he could have been here to hear Ian this morning and what he does as a data analyst and a person who looks at forecasting. So that's the kind of work that my grandson is really excited about. But he knows he's going to have to take steps along the way. But he was so excited, and he stayed with me for a couple of sessions, but then he went to his own, and it was just such a thrill to see his excitement. And I agree that the speakers were quite good. I especially liked the one with Jesse Yellen, I believe it was. And Janet. Now, Janet Yellen's here.
Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah. Yeah,
I thought maybe she's a daughter. She's a daughter.
Very
same
sure.
Last name.
Sure.
And that was really good on media and the effect of the media on our business and in the world. And so I attended a session every hour, I think, hour and a half. So, you know, my mind is just kind of sizzling right now with all of the new information, but I was in John, in Mr. Rawson's report or presentation, I was very interested in how the data are managed, how they're going to be managing the data. And I apologize for my voice. I don't know why it's so bad. Maybe it's my age. I don't know. But yeah, it was a great conference. And I haven't looked to see what else I've done, but that was the big event for a lot of us. Just taking a quick look. No, I think that was the main thing that we've done. So I just, again, I want to say I'm really grateful to APPA for encouraging young people to attend their conferences. And I was really prepared to pay for him. And then they said, no, we'd like to offer him a complimentary registration. And so that was great. Okay, so are there any other reports?
I have none.
Okay, we'll move on to the commissioner event calendar. Are there any changes to the commissioner event calendar?
No changes other than to Enoch on the 7th is virtual. Verify that.
I don't have any changes.
Please don't drive to Portland.
You know I won't.
If you do, bring a mobile device and you can dial in.
I think it's probably about as cheap to fly. When in August we're having a tour of the Jackson project. Do you have the date? When is that? In July?
I think it's in later.
I mean, in August.
It's later in our agenda, in our meeting calendar.
It's August 24th, but that's
August
on the governor's
calendar. Okay, August 24th. Okay, so that's a commission tour. I don't know if they're going to have any members of the public involved. So now we will move on to the 2023 Treasury Budget Forecast and Major Project Status Report. Sarah Bond, or this is for May. Sarah Bond is available to answer questions. Should we have any regarding the report? Does anyone have a question? Ms. Wilson, do you have any questions?
I have no questions at this time.
Do you, Commissioner?
No, it's a very thorough report. And like I've said so many times, I appreciate it. It's a lot of work, but it really
takes
a lot of situational awareness.
It's a lot of hard work. We do appreciate it. We know you're top notch. Move on to the May 2023 District Performance Dashboard. Do you have any questions or comments, Commissioners? Commissioner Wilson? Concerning the
I have no questions. The format of this dashboard is so good in terms of looking at trends, which is important for the board.
Yeah.
That continues to evolve, and I'm so appreciative of it.
I had a question, but I read the small print again this afternoon, and I found my answer, so I don't have any questions.
Okay, great. No comments here. Okay. All right, thank you. We'll move on to governance planning. Any changes to the governance planning calendar, Commissioners?
I do have a few, Commissioner, if you don't mind.
Oh, please. Allison Morrison, our clerk of the board, will...
The Flex Energy Pilot Program results, as well as the time of day rates that are currently scheduled for July 25th, will now be on July the 11th.
Oh.
For correction, it was July 11th.
I think the Flex Energy will be July and time of day.
I was not aware that. I was told they were both going to July 11th. But either way, we'll all get that corrected, and the calendar will be updated
okay.
with the correct dates.
And for the audience, public, or the Flex Energy Program is for the commercial or industrial?
It's just their report that they're coming back on. I don't have specifics until I get the information.
But we don't have residential Flex program, do we?
Yeah, the
pilot.
Yeah, the Flex pilot. Flex.
You mean for residential?
Yes.
Oh, and we can find out how to sign up on the web?
It's the one that's already happened. It's a reporting, it's a report out on.
So we just went through our.
It's over.
Yeah, second season.
Yeah.
And this is a report out on the second season.
Are they going to reopen it for new subscribers?
Well.
Stay tuned for the report.
Yeah, go ahead.
Mr. Ziskowski.
We're moving towards AMI deployment, so.
That's right. Yeah, Jason Ziskowski, Assistant General Manager for Facilities Generation, Power Rates and Transmission. Yeah, the kind of pilot is over, and we'll be taking the lessons learned from that and applying it to future rates that we can implement once AMI is rolled out. So very beneficial in that way. Peter and the team will have a full report out there in July.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Right.
Commissioner, I have a couple things for the planning calendar. So I have a couple things I'd like us to consider adding. Mm-hmm. The first is a conversation around our philosophy for new rates and programs as we deploy our smart meters, you know, such as carrot, stick, win-win, those kinds of things. Now, it sounds like we're going to probably have an opportunity to discuss all that in the presentation we just talked about. So I'm looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. The other is a conversation between the board and the leadership team about our collective appetite for risk. You know, and the amount of reserves we need for a specific appetite. I'm concerned about not just financial risk, but I'm also concerned about, you know, the risk of not being able to serve load. But this most recent sort of hit in our pocketbook because of having to go out on the market, you know, it's causing us to sort of change our what we do this year budget-wise. And I'm wondering if that means we've taken on too much risk. So I just think it's an interesting conversation and to understand how we all feel about risk and what risk we want the utility to take. And it dawned on me, if we had more reserves, that we could have rolled the dice more, we wouldn't have felt as uncomfortable about the costs that we had incurred. Or if we had taken had less of an appetite. You know, I mean, there's pluses and minuses. The risk is also the risk of losing out on opportunities.
Yeah. And Jason can probably speak to this a little better, but certainly some lessons learned, and we are going through and reevaluating our risk appetite or profile, especially regarding our supply. I believe the plan is, and I'll let Jason talk to this, but we would bring back kind of our due diligence and the information and present that to the board if we wanted to propose any type of changes to that.
Before you speak, Jason, I think I really encourage what you're just recommending, because I think we need to talk about some of the other expenditures that we're involved in. And I'll be sending you some questions, John, about how much are we spending on Mesa? What about our storage future? You know, what are we going to be doing? How are we going to fund enough storage to make sense for us? Things like that. So I think it would be a great idea to have that risk conversation, looking at all of our commitments and what we might want or not want to commit to in the future.
Why don't we go, Ms. Krishner, also, before we go too far down this road, there's financial risk, is our portfolio risk. And I'm hearing, I'm hoping that we're all looking kind of at the same world here. Yeah, and so I would look to John and his staff to try to work through this thing, because I'm not sure the commissioner, we are all being very clear in terms of what we really want.
And we
I think it's an important conversation.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what we're talking about.
Yeah, and staff is working on it right now. So, question you asked Commissioner Logan around risk with our power supply and kind of how we handle our sliced product, all those sorts of things. They're looking at that right now. And I would expect, you know, a report out kind of in the fall timeframe. And then, you know, as far as how much energy storage should we have? How should we meet, you know, future load, you know, both energy and capacity needs? We're going through an update to the IRP right now, And those questions are being looked at. And we have an IRP update. I mean, I believe that's in July. And then, you know, that's just an update on the work so far this year. And, you know, we'll have more as the year progresses, as that is planned to be done by the end of the year. So all those things the teams are working on, and we have updates planned for the commission.
And I think we've already previously heard that work, the financial side of the house is looking at the same thing in regard to.
And Scott.
Did I mishear that? I thought that we were looking at, you were looking at bringing forward as maybe needed, a look at our reserves, a look at, would be from Tony, the overriding caution that let's be conservative.
Yeah, and all that ties together, right? We're doing evaluation on the risk, our power supply risk, the IRP will tie into that. And then as we move into budget season, if we do want to adjust reserve levels, so on and so forth. But again, Scott can do a better job of articulating that process. But that is all kind of what's in motion now, that we will come back to the board with the analysis and the recommendations.
Scott Jones, the PUD CFO. The only comment I'll make really quickly, and I agree with everything you said, and this is something that we think about, talk about, evaluate constantly. So there's probably never a time when we're not thinking about what reserves should be and how much we have. The one thing I will mention is on the back end of the budget process last year, we talked, actually the last 2 years, we talked quite a bit about wanting to go into that next year with a little bit more operating reserves than we would normally target, very specifically, because these last two budget years, including the one we're in now, the last two budget years have been very challenging. And you all remember, because I've heard you repeat this back to me, you remember me saying late last year that in 2023, we were going into what I thought was probably the most uncertain budget year that I had seen in my career, that there were too many factors out in the marketplace, from supply chain, from labor and everything else, that we just really wanted to have a conservative posture going into the 2023 budget year. And so we did, and I'm very appreciative that you all approved a budget that was a little more conservative from an operating reserve standpoint. That helped us tremendously in this first quarter, because we were dealing with operational hydro generation issues, issues that all of our neighbors were dealing with too. So I'm appreciative of that. We did it sort of as an after, you know, sort of a side note of a, hey, you know, things don't feel perfect, let's prop this up a little bit. I agree with you, Commissioner Logan, that every so often we need that sort of bigger conversation, not just the generation risks and not just the portfolio risks and not just the market engagement risks that Jason's dealing with, but sort of zooming out a little bit and saying, what's right? We've got about three or four buckets of reserves. Are they in the right place? Do they feel good? Are they preparing us for what we're seeing in the market? So stuff we think about all the time, we're happy to engage in that stuff to whatever degree you like. But it's a great point.
Yeah, and you know, my concern is around global warming, and we have much more variability in our weather, you know, which I think we saw, you know, it's been cost so much earlier this year, and we've got low water here. And so just putting all that together, do we need a special reserve fund just for power supply? And are we taking on too much risk? I mean, I've said it in several different ways, but as I was driving in my car, I'm thinking more about it. It's just generally, what's our appetite for risk? And so, you know, it concerns me when we had such an impactful event, now that we have to think about what do we delay, what don't we do? Because we've also had some years when we've made more in the market. And so I just want to understand that, you know, that balance and us have that conversation. I know the future is unpredictable, but I believe it's getting less predictable. That has to factor into it. I think we're doing that. So it's definitely.
Yeah, one thing, and John can comment on this too. One thing we're doing, which I think will help long term, I mean, we are knee deep, well, not knee deep, we're neck eyeball deep in the strategic planning process right now that Kim and Laura Lemke and others have been working very hard on. That combined with all the work that Jason's doing on the energy risk management side of the house, on IRP and everything else, combined with, we're actually evaluating right now an enterprise risk management program internally that just kind of takes a really good comprehensive look at all the risk management around the district. When you kind of put all those pieces together, we're going to be in a position, I think, over the next 6 to 12 to 18 months where we can really start prioritizing that stuff in a more articulate way. And so we've got a bunch of pieces to the puzzle that are kind of in process right now. And as those pieces start coming together, I think we're excited about it because it's going to give us a chance to kind of see that picture start putting together and start prioritizing those risks and strategies better. And so hopefully I didn't steal any of your thunder, but I think we've got an interesting opportunity on the horizon here to kind of get those things fitting together a little bit.
Yeah, that's well said. And I would say, again, that's absolutely the right question to be asking, because you read all the tea leaves and even some of the stuff that is pretty late. As an example, you know, NERC and WEC just came out with their summer report, our evaluation on energy and capacity in the West. And, you know, they're shooting out a warning saying, hey, there could be shortfalls. All that plays into that power supply and the amount of risk that we are continuing to have to take on. Hydro has a lot of good properties, a lot of good properties, but it is vulnerable to the weather. As we saw the first, last month of last year, the first 3 or 4 months of this year. So that, yeah, it's the right question to be asking.
It really is. I'm grateful for it. And so I was making a list of all the kinds of risk. If we tried to do kind of a synthesis, what I think you're talking about is looking at all of our risks in some kind of a unified way. I made a little list quickly. I put down power supply. All these pertain to risk, power supply. Finances, projects, now and future. Cyber, big deal. I attended some really interesting sessions at APPA on cyber. Generation, climate change for sure. A new article that I read during lunch today was about the heat at night is going to be a new indicator of how bad it really is. So we need to, all of that pertains to our risk. So anyway, good topic, important topic. Yeah.
Well, and proactive rather than reactive.
Amen. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I know all this will. I know that all this will then feed into a different look, perhaps a. You indicated in a previous presentation to us of the financial plan, and then we'll see how it plays out in that. But again, proactive.
Yeah.
Rather than reactive.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've been through too many reactive disasters.
We want to play offense and do the best we can. Again, with our IRP, the energy management, all of those components to make sure we're trying to stay ahead of the game. And Scott indicated very well, or articulated very well, we started to have these conversations over the past couple of years, and especially last year as we went into this season, not really with a lot of data, but just that feeling that the market is getting, especially the supply market, is getting much more volatile. We've got to factor that into how we see the future.
The lack of challenges, right?
Opportunities.
Opportunities, right.
Thank you.
Is there any further business to come before the board today?
I have none.
I have none.
Hearing none, good. Yes. It is now 2:14, and this meeting is now adjourned.